Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Content warning. This episode contains discussion of attempted murder and drunk driving. It also includes some profanity.
While we are all awaiting future developments in the ongoing Richard Allen case, we decided that one way for us all to better understand what's going on and what may happen in the future would be to take a close look at the principals in the legal case. Namely, attorneys Brad Rosey and Andy Baldwin, prosecutor Nicholas McClelland, and Judge Fran Gull.
We're going to start with Andy Baldwin. In the last couple of weeks, we've driven all over southern Indiana to talk with people who've worked with, or have been represented by, Andy Baldwin. Before we begin, we'll give you a quick overview of Andrew, or Andy, Baldwin. He is a criminal defense attorney. Along with Brad Rosey, he is representing Richard, or Rick, Allen, the man charged with murder in the Delphi case. Andy is a founding partner of the criminal defense team. The team is based in Franklin, the seat of Indiana's Johnson County, but takes cases from up and down the state of Indiana. As you'll hear, Andy has a strong reputation in the Indiana legal field for his trial work. He has been practicing law for many years and has worked plenty of high-profile cases. One thing that we've heard a lot is that he has a habit of winning unwinnable cases. But it's one thing to do research on a person. It's another thing entirely to hear from folks who've worked with him directly. That's what we'll be doing in this series of episodes. Over the next few days, we are going to release 3 episodes about him and his career. Each of the episodes, of course, will include information about his work in court.
Perhaps you've wondered about what sort of person even goes into criminal defense. Well, today's episode will also take a look at what he is like as a person, and what it's like to spend time with him, and what his peers think of him.
Our second episode will concentrate on what he is like in court, and what it's like to be represented by him. You will hear the story of a murder case he worked, a case where, like in Delphi, the accused killer was caught on video.
Our concluding episode will focus largely on a single case. It is the tale of one young person shooting and killing another, and how that case was ultimately adjudicated.
We hope that these episodes not only give you a better idea of who Andy Baldwin is, but also how our adversarial legal system functions in Indiana. My name is Anya Kane. I'm a journalist.
And I'm Kevin Greenlee. I'm an attorney.
We first connected while looking into the Burger Chef murders, an Indiana cold case. Together, we built a spreadsheet documenting hundreds of cases of restaurant-related homicides. That original spreadsheet gave way to our podcast, The Murder Sheet.
Now we maintain that same research-centric, investigative approach as we look into all sorts of homicides, including unsolved cases, historical crimes, and, of course, restaurant murders.
We don't just chat about the headlines. Our podcast is a platform for our journalism. The Murder Sheet focuses on investigative reporting, thoughtful analysis, thorough research, and in-depth interviews.
We're the Murder Sheet.
And this is The Delphi Murders, Andy Baldwin for the Defense, Part 1, The Mad Scientist.
He's without a doubt the best defense attorney in the state. And I think that's based on trial record, based on cases, even that he might plea out, and just general reputation among the entire state of Indiana.
That was Clark Waymire, who worked for 5 years as a paralegal at the criminal defense team, which, of course, is the name of Andy Baldwin's firm. We found that his opinion of Andy's skills is widely shared.
Perhaps you think Clark might be biased since he was an employee of Andy's. Well, here's an opinion from someone whose office regularly squares off against Andy Baldwin in court. Andy's home office is in Johnson County, Indiana. The prosecutor there is a man named Lance Hamner. He took office just this year. Before that, he served as judge at Johnson County Superior Court 3 from 2009 to 2022. And before that, he served as Johnson County prosecutor from 1991 to 2009. This is a man who has seen a great deal of Andy Baldwin in court.
First of all, he's always friendly, he's always fair, and he's formidable. And by that I mean, when I say fair, if he has a weakness in his case, he's going to say, okay, I can see why you're making the offer that you are, but I still think I can beat you. Or he will say, make me your best offer because this is a tough case for us, and I understand that. I think he knows where I, as prosecutor, am coming from. Like I said, I've only been here for 2 months now, in this my second iteration as prosecutor. But the first time around, we had a great working relationship. I knew he wasn't the kind of guy who would pull a fast one or, you know, for want of a better term, cheat. He's not the kind that does that. It's 100% ethical 100% of the time. But if he has a case and we can't work it out for whatever reason, I know he's going to come out swinging and he's going to be wearing the 12-ounce professional fighter's gloves, and that's the way he operates.
And here's Carrie Miles. She's worked as an attorney with the criminal defense team. She now works in the office of the Johnson County prosecutor.
I think everyone will say he's a fantastic trial lawyer, passionate about the defense of his clients and the Constitution and our system. And I think most everyone will also say he's just a good dude. He's just a deep down inside good dude, loves his wife, loves his kids, proud of them, doesn't run his mouth about it, but it's, you see it, loves his friends, loves to have a good time. Is there for you if you need him. If I picked up the phone and called him right now and said, I did it again, I got shit canned, I need a job, Andy. If he could find me a job, he'd find me a job because he's a loyal friend. Yeah, and he is a dude. He's a dude. So when I say that, I say it laughing, but he's a good human. He really is a good human.
Andy, I would say, is a blue-collar lawyer. He's a common person lawyer. He's not Mr. Fancy Suit. If he's not in trial or not in court, he's wearing a dirty T-shirt, sweatpants. He's just kind of that regular, everyday guy, I think. And to me, that comes from his upbringing.
I hope I don't embarrass him by saying this, but the guy has no ego, at least no visible ego. He's probably the most self-deprecating star lawyer you'll ever run into. Most lawyers, in all honesty, most lawyers have a little bit of an ego. They like to talk about how good they are, or at least imply that, or just stand there and beam while you brag on them. Andy really, he hardly will even let you brag on him. If you say you did a really good job on this, he's giving credit to everybody else. If you tell him that you had the jury eaten out of your hand, my friend, he will be, well, I had really good facts. So I think his probably give credit to his mom. He's just a modest guy. And that's, I think people would be surprised that somebody who has a really good reputation as a trial lawyer at the same time has a reputation of being modest.
Here's Rob Seat. He used to work with Andy Baldwin in Johnson County, but he now works as the chief deputy prosecutor in Brown County, Indiana.
Andy is, of course, brilliant in the law, and I'm sure you all talked about that. But in his personal life, he can sometimes be a little bit of a mess, but it always works out for him.
To be clear, when Rob says that, he means it only in the most literal sense of the word. Andy can be personally messy.
He may not want me to say this. He's extremely messy. His office is just a wreck, and I think that goes with staying at the office a lot of times. So that and his car, he's known, he's just kind of known around it. Anyone in Johnson County would tell you that has known him, or any of his other team on his, in his firm would say, yeah, that track. He's a very kind of a messy guy, which I think is just how his brain works. He's got a lot of pieces turning at once, and sort of like Einstein, right? He's like messy desk means he's being productive.
Here's Brown County, Indiana prosecutor Ted Adams. He's also a longtime friend of Andy's. Ted actually was, alongside Andy, one of the co-founders of the criminal defense team.
If you're ever eating with Andy Baldwin, you should be the one that wears the bib, because inevitably you're going to take some shrapnel. He's renowned for that. He is also renowned just eclectic things. When he eats a chicken, I can't even say without laughing.
Here's Johnson County attorney and occasional Andy Baldwin colleague, Michael Ogier, talking about Andy and chicken wings.
If you want to see a spectacle, just sit down and watch him eat some wings at the Willard. That is truly a sight to behold, really, the way he just devours every bit of meat off of a bone. It's ridiculous.
You know, he dribbles food on his clothes. He's a slob. His clothes are on the floor half the time. He smells which one is clean, and sometimes that doesn't even matter. But he's got this whole other part of him that is sharp, and he can do both. And so there's this picture in my head of like a crazy mad scientist who's brilliant, but on the outside looking in, if you walked into a room with him, you would be like, what is this dude? Like, what's he doing? Can he really do what he says he can do? Yeah, he can. And I do think he enjoys that persona. I do, on some level.
You know, he just doesn't really care a whole ton about maybe at times his physical appearance and maybe what people think about him. He looks a little disheveled and stuff. And I think he has used that to his advantage over the years. His style, he used to often tell me, is he goes, you know, Mike, what I like to do is just kind of walk in there and act like I don't know what the hell I'm doing at all. And just to see what the prosecutor is going to say. So at least early on in his career, I don't know that he can get away with this now that he's tried so many cases. But at least at first, he was just, you know, kind of acting a fool. And he would act that way basically as a bluff, I think, just to, you know, oh, we don't have to worry about this guy. He's, you know, look at him. He's not going to try this case, or he looks like he's an idiot, or he's very, you know, unprepared, or he's very scrambled, or whatever it is. He's very disarming that way. You know, he just is. And so you just don't expect what you know, you don't see what's coming.
But when you hear stories about Andy Baldwin outside the courtroom, the ones that come up the most involve a car he used to have.
He used to have a car that didn't have reverse. He would be the guy that you would literally see out at the courthouse who would have to pop his car door open and hang his foot out and literally shove his car backwards by his own feet to get the damn thing out of its parking space and moving down the road.
Classic Flintstone, get your leg out in a suit and tie, going to court. That's my lawyer over there with one leg out of the car, with it in neutral, pushing it back. Yes. He doesn't care what he drives. His car is usually trashed.
Rob remembers an occasion when he visited Andy on an unpleasant spring day.
I noticed that it's one of those rotten, I think it was a spring day where it's spitting snow, wet snow, you know, and so there was just slush on the ground. And Andy finally gets up. Well, I got to leave. So he takes off, goes out. First of all, for whatever reason, he didn't have a shoe on. And just had his socks. And I don't know if it was in the car or what, but he didn't have a shoe on. And so and he gets in the Infiniti, and he had not parked it at his strategic spot, which is by the flower bed. Instead, he parked it in an actual spot. And so that's where the Fred Flintstone thing came out, because he put his leg out with his sock in the slush and backed his car up out of that parking spot.
Rob recalls another memorable tale about the car. This happened at a time when Rob was working in downtown Indianapolis as a Marion County prosecutor.
Andy stopped by. It was a rainy day, I think in April, which makes sense, of course. And Andy stopped by to pop in and just say hi. And I was thrilled. You know, I hadn't seen Andy in a while, and he's working primarily in Franklin, and I'm working, you know, in Indianapolis. And so, hey, how you doing? And oh, I'm doing great. What's going on? Catching up. And so then kind of after we have some small talk for a while, he gets these looks on his face. And he kind of gets this look on his face, this sheepish look on his face. And he says, so anyway, you remember the Infiniti? And I said, yeah, the one that doesn't have reverse. We call it the Fred Flintstone car. He says, yeah, well, anyway, I parked it down at the city market in one of those spots where I need a little help backing out. Can you help me back out? I just start laughing. I said, so you didn't come up here to visit me. You came up here for help to get your Infiniti backed out of the parking spot. And he's like, well, no, I mean, it was good to see you and everything, but if you could help me out, that'd be great. So, of course, a dear friend, we went out, helped push him out of the parking spot. Another side note on this, I don't know if Ted may have told you or not, but I used to tease Andy about car maintenance and stuff like that. And I said, well, what happens when your check engine light comes on? He said, so I just put a little white sticky piece of paper over it. So I don't see it anymore. I said, well, what about the fuel gauge? If the fuel's getting low, I'll just put one on that too.
Rob and Ted return to the subject of Andy's often deceptive appearance.
If you just look at him, he'll always have some food stains and some coffee stains on his suit jackets and his shirt. His hair usually disheveled. I think if his wife didn't go get on him, he'd have a ZZ Top beard. Yeah. I mean, and if he ever get to go into his office, it looks like a fraternity room. I mean, like a tornado has gone through. Those are things that Andy does not shine at. I mean, it's just he puts his efforts elsewhere.
Yep. Well, we sometimes call it the beautiful mind. I mean, because he is so brilliant in trial strategy. We both worked cases with him, Ted more than I, but he's so brilliant in that. And when you see him kind of work, his mind is too full with the machinations of trial preparation and all of that to bother with the maintenance light on his vehicle.
These stories we tell you are renowned amongst the Johnson County Bar Association, yeah. At least the folks that have been there a while. And, you know, he's a character, and that's why he's just so loved. I mean, he's a character.
Ted's closeness to Andy Baldwin made it hard to say goodbye. While still working with the criminal defense team, Ted became convinced that a new prosecutor was needed in Brown County, Indiana. He decided to run for the job and worked hard for it. He still has vivid memories of election night.
Andy came, and, you know, a lot of our family was there too, and Andy came, and he was crying. I mean, because I knew when we won, the returns were coming in. I couldn't believe it. I was winning. And all I wanted to do was learn enough that maybe in 4 years I'd make a good challenge. And I just never forget, we both shed tears because we knew it was the end of our firm. Not the firm, but our partnership. You know, we were founding partners together. Those great memories, I think that's what caused the emotion. I mean, he was happy. I was happy. We were shocked and we were sad all at the same time. It's a lot of emotion.
What's more fun than living out your own cozy mystery?
You know, Kevin and I love to explore real life mysteries. Well, sometimes it's a nice break to get immersed in a fictional mystery story. And playing the free to download hidden object game, June's Journey, is just like starring in your own caper.
This game is a great way to sharpen your observational skills and encourage yourself to take quick, re-energizing breaks throughout the day. You play as June Parker, a flapper / sleuth who navigates jazz age mysteries with aplomb.
In between levels, you can also build up your own fancy island estate. And you know I'm all about that. You can plant flowers, float on swan ponds, and even set loose a beautiful horse. It's very fun.
We enjoy playing this game when we're waiting around for a source to call us back, or when we're stuck outside waiting for a courthouse to open up. It's great fun.
Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. At The Murder Sheet, we're all about immersive audio experiences.
That's why we love Audible. An Audible subscription gives you access to thousands of audiobook titles. We especially enjoy their robust selection of mysteries, thrillers, and true crime.
I love Audible. I've really enjoyed listening to A Wicked Snow by Greg Olson. This story is all about a CSI investigator with a dark past and a terrible family secret. When I'm listening to Audible, it plunks me right down in the middle of the story. It's so spine-tingling that I can practically feel the cold air on my skin. Audible is your one-stop destination for thrillers and mysteries. Just be prepared to get spooked in the best possible way.
Listening to audiobooks offers a wonderful respite from the day. Audible allows you to listen on the go. I love taking a walk or a drive and just getting lost in a story. My favorite audiobook on Audible so far is Presumed Innocent, the book track edition. This classic legal thriller by Scott Turow is enhanced by a gripping musical soundtrack that amplifies the story's suspense and profound emotional beats.
As a new member, you can try out Audible for free for 30 days. This is such a valuable membership, and you get access to so many new listening experiences, including podcasts, Audible originals, and Audible exclusives, like the Words Plus Music series.
Visit audible.com/msheet or text msheet to 500-500.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
As time went on, not just Ted, but also Carrie ended up opposing Andy in court. It was something of a unique experience. Both of them had not only worked side by side with him on cases, but they also regarded him as a friend. Squaring off against someone they knew as well as Andy can pose special challenges.
I would describe it as the lightsaber duel between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker. Because he trained me, right? I mean, Andy Baldwin trained me. And so I knew all of his tricks and he knew all of my tricks.
There's this Jedi mind game thing that you're doing. Like, does Andy know that I know that he might do this, so therefore he's going to do this? And he's doing the same thing with me. You know, Carrie is the best strategist around, so she would have thought that I'm going to do this, so maybe I'll go. I mean, it adds a whole nother layer.
For Carrie, the experience went well.
You talked about how he could win unwinnable cases, but he can be beaten because you beat him, didn't you?
How did you know that?
Can you tell us about that? What it was like to go up against him and how you beat him?
Oh, he's going to be so mad at this. It was a stupid case, and Andy's not going to say it was a stupid case.
It was a drunk driving case. Carrie was the prosecutor, and Andy, of course, was the defense attorney.
You know, you can object to things that are objectionable. That's what the rules say. Over time, I've learned that when another, I'm telling you my secrets, many people know them already. I've learned that when the attorney on the other side of the case is going on a good run and you feel like the jurors are just being sucked into what he's doing and he's stomping the line, like he's not violating any rules, but he's stomping it. And it feels like it's going to go on for a while and you just want it to stop. You can stand up and say, excuse me, Your Honor, I'm sorry. For purposes of objection, could I like ramble a bunch of half sentences? Maybe you'll figure out an objection you can make. Like the witness isn't really answering. He's telling a story now. He's not really answering the questions. They're BS objections. They're not rule, like out of a book, textbook objections, but they stop the flow of the person and they interrupt them. And that's what you got to do to Andy Baldwin, because he'll perform for a jury as long as you let him. And that's not against the rules, but I don't have to listen to it. And a baby lawyer, you know, would look at me and go, but there's really wasn't a rule to object to. Oh, I know. But I shut him up for a little while and then I distracted him. And I'm not saying he's not talented enough that he wouldn't have gotten right back at it. But I will say, and those around us will say, that's why we won the case. Andy will say it's because your cop lied. And he's super bitter about that case.
The case Ted tried against Andy was attempted murder. Ted was actually responsible for getting Andy Baldwin into the case.
And he was appointed on that, much like the Delphi murder case. I told Judge Stewart, I think at the time, I said, hey, I bet the criminal defense team would take this case. Well, what the hell was I thinking? I mean, I consider Andy Baldwin probably one of the top two trial attorneys in the state of Indiana. Why I ever would mention his name to her, I don't know why.
According to Ted, Kenneth Guy, the defendant in the case, had a history of violence.
Kenny Guy had taken a gal from Brown County out to California. She was young. And then he, apparently under California standards, lost his mind and gunned her down, killed her. And he was found not guilty by reason of insanity, and Good old California put him in a mental hospital for about 10 years. Setting loose, he came here to Brown County, where his family was from, and promptly, I mean, I believed he either clubbed or shot his brother in the head. I mean, he split his brother's head open. And his brother, I remember my opening was called, you know, when you commit a crime in hell, don't expect angels for witnesses. My victim, which is Kenny Guy's brother, was a drug addict. But in this case, he was a victim. So I charged Kenny Guy with aggravated battery as a level 3 felony, some minor felonies. And I said, hey, you can plead. I knew my witness wasn't the best. So you plead guilty to aggravated battery and I won't charge attempted murder. And through his public defender, they didn't do that. So I charged him with attempted murder. And we ended up trying with Andy attempted murder and aggravated battery. And they were not guilty on attempted murder. They had a self-defense claim that I hadn't heard of until we tried the case. And jury came back not guilty on the attempted murder, guilty on the lower felonies that I didn't care about. And they were hung 11-1 in favor of guilty on the other serious felony, which is aggravated battery. So we had to try it a second time on that count. And I remember that very well. It did not go well for me. I tried the shit out of that first one, if I may say that. So did Andy. I mean, that's why I describe it like that lightsaber duel. We gave it all. And it was some of the best openings and closings that I've seen. Mark Kamish came to the closing and said, based on what I saw, you probably just convicted that man. And obviously I didn't. It was good. And both of us were at our best. And so when I tried it the second time, my evidence didn't come out the way I wanted it to, and they had a different focus. And I remember the night before we gave our closing statements, I called Andy. He was staying at his parents' house here in Brown County. And I don't remember. I had something I had to disclose to him or tell him, and I just started yelling and cussing. And I, not at him, just at where my case was, because I really, Kenny Guy's, in my opinion, a dangerous guy. I mean, he's killed before, and in my opinion, he's inflicted major injury, probably, and still believe he attempted to kill his brother. And I just thought, he's going to walk out, and he's unstable, and he's going to come after me and my family. And I was worried about, all that was on my mind, and I just thought that, I'm losing the case. And Andy, I was cussing. And I remember he got choked up again because he knew I was just in pain. I was just flabbergasted. And I just thought, I'm losing it. And he just felt the pain that I had. I hadn't lost yet until he beat me in the attempted murder, so I was still trying to salvage that case. And he just teared up. He's like, dude, you're going to be all right. And we gave our closing statements, and we both did a good job. And I remember we went to just a local pizza joint over here, Big Woods. And I said, I didn't care. I'm having a beer. I'm losing this case. And he's like, yeah, I'll drink one with you. Jury came back under 2 hours. We were there, and I looked at him like, well, let's go get, you're not guilty. I said, you did a hell of a job. And we went back, and it was guilty. They found him guilty. And the roles totally flip-flopped because it was a gut shot to Andy now and not to me. And then I welled up with tears because I felt bad for him. I mean, you put everything out there. When you work that much on a case, those were week-long jury trials. And I always tell folks, for every day you're in trial, you're in 2 days of prep. So you've put in hundreds of hours of work on this case. And this is the second time we've had to try it. And for that to happen, I mean, it was a gut shot to him, and I instantly felt bad for him. I knew the exact emotions he had. It was what I had the night before. And quite frankly, I think he won that case. I really thought I was losing the whole time. I just could feel it slipping out of my fingers. And I cannot believe I won that case. I really can't.
Both Ted Adams and Andy Baldwin fought passionately in court. So we asked Ted, how can they remain friends after doing battle with each other?
We're able to do it because we have a healthy respect for each other. We know we're both of the school of thought that we can identify the issues that we ought to fight, that should be fought passionately. And then the other stuff, we're able to, for the sake of the jury, to move cases along. You know what? We'll put this to the judge without all the bluster. Let her make the decision and move on. We know what issues need to be fought. Yep. And so that's, I think, the short answer to your question is just a healthy dose of respect for what we both do and how we do our craft.
Ted, of course, is not the only prosecutor who has a good working relationship with Andy. Here again is Johnson County prosecutor Lance Hamner. You say you have a good working relationship with him. I think that might surprise a lot of people who imagine that a prosecutor and a defense attorney are more adversarial. Can you speak to that?
Yes. It's more like, I think for the public's perception, it's more like fighters than anything. All the fighters know each other. They all like each other generally. But when they get in the ring, they're not pulling any punches. They're going full on until one, one's left standing. But outside of the ring, they're friends. And it might seem counterintuitive, but I know that Mr. Baldwin, Andy, has a job. And I know I'm not going to come in here and say, hey, why don't you cut me a break? I got a bad case, so why don't you plead your guy guilty? He can't do that. I would never ask him to do that, and I know he won't. I know that he knows if I got a weak case, he's coming after me. If I have a strong case, he's looking for a little mercy. He knows me personally and knows that I can extend mercy if it's justified. I want to help a person get better if they've got addictions or if they have alcoholism or something like that, or if they have a number of different things that might impact the way they live their lives. I want to get people turned around. He knows that and he respects that. So I think we have a really good relationship in that we understand each other really well.
We are going to hear a lot more about Andy Baldwin in court tomorrow. Here's a quick preview.
It's hard because we're on a podcast here, but he's got big trial balls.
We will have much more tomorrow.
Thanks very much to everyone who spoke with us about their experiences with Andy for this episode.
Thanks so much for listening to The Murder Sheet. If you have a tip concerning one of the cases we cover, please email us at murdersheet@gmail.com. If you have actionable information about an unsolved crime, please report it to the appropriate authorities.
If you're interested in joining our Patreon, that's available at www.patreon.com/murdersheet. If you want to tip us a bit of money for records requests, you can do so at www.buymeacoffee.com/murdersheet. We very much appreciate any support.
Special thanks to Kevin Tyler Greenlee, who composed the music for The Murder Sheet, and who you can find on the web at kevintg.com.
If you're looking to talk with other listeners about a case we've covered, you can join the Murder Sheet discussion group on Facebook. We mostly focus our time on research and reporting, so we're not on social media much. We do try to check our email account, but we ask for patience as we often receive a lot of messages. Thanks again for listening.